devil is capable of doing. Now, the devil is the author of every evil work. He's the author of weariness. He's the author of backsliding. He's the one that will wear you down. Sometimes he will set, the devil will set confusion into your heart. It's like you will not know what to do. You are confused. You will take your Bible sometimes. You will flip from page to page, from chapter to chapter, from book to books. You will not see one verse to read. That is the handwork of the devil. And that is happening just because we are not able to gather together to see ourselves face to face. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, was advising us here, admonishing the believers. He said, "And that, knowing the time," look at that word, "and that knowing the time," the time the world is passing through now. Please, don't look at it from the viewpoint of diseases at all. It is more than that. It is more than just a pandemic that is affecting the whole world. It is also a sign to the believers. It is also a sign to the world. It's a sign. And that's exactly what Holy Ghost is speaking here in verse 11. "And that knowing the time." Knowing the time. That now, during this pandemic, during this time that you are not making much, you are not even making 1/10 or 1/10 of what you used to make. Maybe this time around, you are not even making anything at all. It's a sign. It's a particular time. It is a certain time. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Now, this time that everything is falling apart. Pandemic keep increasing. Nobody is certain of anything. It is a sign. As a believer, it should not weigh us down. It should not slide us backward. It will push us, but by the help of God and by the help of the scriptures, brothers and sisters, we should not allow the devil, the condition that we are passing through, to push us backward. The devil will do that. And that's what he's doing right now. But we must understand. We must have knowledge. Because we are believers. And we have a lively hope. We have an expectation. We have what we are expecting. That's true. If truly you are a believer, we are not here. We are not expecting when you are going to become the governors of your state. That's good. You are not expecting when you are going to own an asset. God can give it to you, but that's not the lively hope of a believer. The lively hope of a believer is the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, if you don't know that, know it tonight. So the Bible is now telling you that you should know the time. The time you are living in. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It is high time not to allow anything to discourage us. It is high time, brothers and sisters, never to listen to the flesh. It is high time never to listen to the suggestions of the devil. Now is the time. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. That's a spiritual sleeping. The devil will like to take you back to what you have overcome. That is true. If you can just be sincere to yourselves, you will see what your heart is demanding, what your heart is suggesting, what your heart or your mind is telling you to do. Now, because you are, it's like you are free, you are at home. If you are the type that it's only the pastor that can talk to you, you see that even when your husband tells you that, oh, this one you are doing is not correct, you will shout him down. If he tries to correct you that this dressing is not okay, it's not biblical, it's not becoming the saint, or it's not becoming of the saint of God, you will not even answer him. Because you are at home. You are free. But brothers and sisters, don't listen to the flesh. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to yourself. Because there's nothing good in you. Listen to God. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time, not just time, but high time to awake out of sleep, to shake ourselves from the maybe prison of imprisonment of the devil. Look at what that Bible says. For now, now is our salvation. That salvation is talking about final redemption. It's talking about the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you have been saved. But the Bible says we are saved in hope. Or we are saved by hope. Because we are saved to be saved. Do you understand? You are saved. You are saved to be saved. So that's what he's telling you here. That now is our salvation. Which salvation? Final salvation. Because you should never relax until when rapture takes place and you find yourself there. It is then you can shout hallelujah. That's true. So don't waste your life. Amen and amen. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, don't waste your life. Because it will not pay you. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Maybe you have believed 20 something years ago, 30 years ago, perhaps 40 years ago, 10 years ago. But this year now, year 2020, the Bible is telling you that now, either you have job or no job, either you have money or you don't have money in your pocket, whatever happens that is happening to you, that does not hinder the program of God. Should not allow that one to take you away from the presence of the Lord. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Hallelujah. So that is telling you and I that it is not time to allow weariness. It's not time, you know, to allow the devil to suggest to us. It is not time to listen to the dictations of the devil. It's not time to go back to the sin that you have overcome before. It is not time to go back to what you have biblically rejected before. Because when you were coming to church, when there was no lockdown, you know that if you dress one way, the preacher will hit it. You will quickly change it. If you do your hair in one way or the other, if you conduct yourself in an biblical way, the pastor will see you and call you to a check and correct you, sometimes direct from the pulpit. But now you are at home. You are at home. But if you can only believe, Jesus Christ is with you at home. As he is delivering you when you are coming to church house, when we are gathered together, when we are gathering together, he's still on the same business of deliverance. If you can allow him. Amen. So brothers and sisters, now, not yesterday, tomorrow it will be nearer. Next week it will be nearer. See, now is our salvation. The rapture we are expecting. The appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are expecting that our lively hope that made us to forsake the world and the things of the world, now is that our salvation nearer, close than when you believed 10 years ago. Look at what it says in verse 12. The night is far spent. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. What is the night? The night is a time when we are fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It's a time when we are doing self-will. It's a time when we are controlling ourselves instead of the control of the Holy Spirit. It's a time when we are lukewarm. It's a time when we don't listen to God. It's a time when we direct ourselves. It's a time when we do what we like. We do whatsoever we like. It's a time of self-will. The Bible referred to all those times as night. Night time. It said the night is far spent. We've wasted a lot of time. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off. You hear me? Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. That's not referring to witchcraft alone. That's not referring to sorcery alone. That's not referring to belonging to being a cult member. No. The work of darkness, the works of darkness, it simply means sin. Sin. A sin. It's a work of darkness. It is called the work of the flesh. So the time we have spent in all of that, so that time is night and is far spent. And the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Watch now. And let us put on the armor of light. Why? Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. It's like somebody wants to write an examination. You might have been spending your time for one thing or the other, but when the examination is about a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or even a month time, you've got to be serious. You've got to be serious. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to wake up in the night and study. Why? Now is the time of examination. Draw it nearer. And the rapture we are talking about, the appearance of the Son of God, I pray that the things of this world will not cause you to miss it. If you miss it, it is better you are not born. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord will help us. The Lord will help me. The word of the Lord will revive us. What is going on in the world is a sign. It's a sign that the end time is here. The end time is here. We've been reading about it all this while. Yeah, we never believe it can happen. But now it's happening. It's not only happening in some part of the world or some part of Africa, but now to show to us that this is God. It's happening in all over the world. Shaking everywhere. It's a sign of the end time, brother. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Luke chapter 9. So, Luke chapter 9. Let's read. Okay. Let's read verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand on to the plow, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I read again. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What is that telling us? No man, having put his hand to the plow, no man, having confessed that I believe and I'm ready to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to reign with him. I have heard his voice and I have believed him. I will follow him all the way. You lay your hands upon the plow to walk. But looking back, if you dare look back, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. So, brother, no wonder God sent to us this, they gave me this message yesterday. He said, let heart burn for I, the Lord. Let heart not be cold. Let heart not be cold. Because the time we are living, the time we are in, we cause many lukewarmness in the heart of people. And that is true. So, brothers and sisters, let me read the whole story for you now from verse 57 to show you the seriousness of the kingdom of God. The seriousness of this kingdom of God that Jesus, the Son of God, came to propagate. I read from verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Look at the answer of Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Because of what? Because of the kingdom of God. He never weary upon all the oppressions and persecutions and the rejections and the reproach that he faced. He knew why he came to this world. And he held on to it. Since he laid his hand upon the plow, he did not look back. They call him Beelzebub. It didn't discourage him. They stone him. He didn't make him to look back. He knows. He understood. He had the revelation of what he's doing or what he was doing. Hallelujah. This certain man came to him. Lord, I will follow you You want to follow me? No problem. But look at this. You want to come into the ministry? Oh. My ministry is different from that of Pharisees and the Sadducees. Because when you go to their Bible school or theological school, and you come out, then everybody will begin to refer to you as Father, Reverend Father. Even they build you house, they buy you this, they buy you that, they took good care of you. You become like a chief. But I don't have that kind of ministry. So you want to follow me? You have to know the condition. It's not that I'm a poor God. I'm not poor. I created riches. Gold and silver belongs to me. But because of my commission and my mission, I deny myself. Therefore, listen to the condition. Foxes have holes. And birds of the air, you see them flying. None of them is sleeping in the air. They have their nests. But I, the Son of Man, has not where to lay his head. He's telling you that he did not have a permanent abode. If he traveled to Nazareth and the sun set there, that's where he's going to sleep. Verse 59. And he said unto another, look at that, follow me. He looked at that man and said, you follow me. Look at what that one said. But that one said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Look at the question Jesus answered him. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. All these questions and answers here is showing us the importance of the kingdom of God. It's showing us importance that the kingdom of God supersedes every other thing. Amen and amen. That is true. He's telling you that the kingdom of God is above everything. There's nobody who will not bury his father. If your father died, the Bible did not tell you, did not deny you from burying your father. But Jesus was training them in a rugged way today, here. Showing them where the condition they can meet at any time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. I will believe. I want to be a Christian. I want to believe the message of the hour. I want to come out of Trinitarians. I know that there's no woman pastor in the Bible. I want to follow you. But let me first go and bid them, my people, my friends, farewell, which are at home at my house. It was that man Jesus looked unto and said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, don't allow the fire of God, the fire of the gospel that is in your heart, do not allow it to die. Christ is depending on you. Christ is depending on me. In your working place, Christ is depending on you. In your community, Christ is depending on you. Wherever you can find yourself, you are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is depending on you. Don't be weary. Don't look back. For now is our salvation nearer than before. During this pandemic time that the whole world is shaking, now is our salvation, our deliverance, our homegoing time is nearer than when we believe. That's what it's telling you. So dear sons of God and daughters of God, please wake up. Don't allow the devil to preach to you. Amen and amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Matthew chapter 24 from verse 7. Matthew 24:27 from verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. Look at that. And pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Watch now. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. Look at it. Can you take this? Look at the message Jesus was preaching to his follower. Now, what did the devil telling you? Look at him telling them that they are going to kill them. Because of what? Because of him. Because of what? Because of the message they believe. But look at the kind of things the devil is trying to take you back into. How much I'm sorry for you. Don't waste your life. Wake up. For now is your salvation. Now is our redemption. Nearer than when we believe. This is a sign of the end time. It's a sign of the end time. It should not push us back into the world. It should push us into the Holy Spirit. It should cause us to look up. It should not cause us to look back. Because now is our salvation nearer. Nearer. The lifeboat is nearer. The train that's going to carry us home, the sign of his arrival has come down. He can surface at any time. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. This is not the time to go back to the world. This is not the time to go back to carnality. This is the time to pray and get closer to God and pray God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. For now is your redemption nearer than when you believe. He said, they shall kill them and you shall be hated. Look at that. Can you take that? Because that's why you want to be like them, because you don't want to be hated. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Unless you can stop calling the name of Jesus, then they will love you. Read it. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. They can't take it. They can't bear it. They shall be offended and she shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Christian believer will begin to hate believer because you begin to see your brother as an extremist because he refused to go back to Jezebelism. Because he refused to go back to sin. And you have allowed the devil to take over the searing of your heart. There's no way you will not hate your spiritual brother. A carnal man always hates a spiritual man. That is true. A carnal woman will persecute a spiritual woman. A carnal man will hate a spiritual man. I read it for you. He said, "And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended." They will deny Jesus Christ. That's the offense there. They can no longer, they can't bear it. It's too much for them. They'll be offended. I pray that by the time the church house will be allowed to open, I pray that you will not be found wanted. I pray that your presence, your family, should be seen. That is true. I pray that all of you will be able to come back to the presence of God, to the fellowship of the brethren. I pray that the devil will not have carried you away. And if you don't want that one to happen, you have to wake up. Don't listen to the devil again. Don't listen to the flesh again. But listen to Jesus Christ. He's the one speaking to you now. Because it is his word I'm reading to you. See, and then, and that time, when that thing begins to happen, many shall be offended and shall betray one another. And shall hate one another. That's not unbelievers. That's believers. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Now, when we were talking about the Trinitarians and all this anti-Bible, so-called GOGS or whatever they are, pastors, reverend, all of them, when we were telling you that these people are agents of the Antichrist, you know the name you were calling us then. You said we are proud. Yes. You said we are claiming to know too much. But now you have seen it with your own eye. You have heard it with your own ear. When they now said that their mandate, that what they were doing before when they were deceiving you, preaching some carnal holiness, they were deceiving you. Those days when they were preaching restitution, when they were preaching, if you have married two wives, they drove your drive one. When they were preaching all the way you should dress and the way you should behave yourself and so forth, you thought they were preaching the gospel. They were not preaching the gospel. They were preaching their self philosophy. Their self philosophy. Now, they now said, you heard it, that their mandate, the real mandate, is to unite all the religion of the world together. All faiths. That their real mandate, that the former thing they were doing, he said they were just crashing it on the surface. But that's not their real call. Their real call is that they should unite all religion, both the traditional, both the Buddhists, both the Muslims, both the Hare Krishnas, and what have you, all of them, both the white garment churches, Pentecostal, Catholic, all of them, to unite together and worship under one roof. I can show you, and I have seen it, where these people, they are the ones that went to dedicate ecumenical churches wherever it is open in Nigeria here. Ecumenical churches. Yes. Ecumenical churches. If you don't know the meaning of ecumenical churches, it's a building where all people, both idol worshipper, those Christian, those Muslim, anybody, we gather together. But now they have declared it open. Therefore, I am now free to apply verse 11 to them, which says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." That's how we told you. When you hear the truth, when you hear the truth and you recognize it to be truth, you better believe it and come out. Before it became a snare. Before it will become a snare. That you will want to come out, but you will not be able to come out again. A lot of them there now, they have no choice than to agree with whatever this GO, with this GS, with whatsoever they say. They've been sneered. Hallelujah. That's true. Is it not First Thessalonians that says, because they have no love for the truth. Because they just come to church. They just have religious spirit. Not that they love the truth. Is that because they have no love for the truth. So God himself now will send to them, strong delusion. So that they may be able to believe lies. They have been snared. Oh, may God have mercy. But look at one that concerns you now. The one that concerns you is verse 12. You bride of Jesus Christ. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity shall abound. Do you know another thing is coming up now in our nation, which was not like that before? If you listen to your news now, apart from coronavirus, apart from terrorists, now what is coming up now and it's raining is the issue of rape. Rape. That's what it's now also escalating. It's spreading. Rape. And who are they raping? Raping 7-year-old girl. Father raping his daughter. Rape. That is what is going on now again. It's a sign of the end time. Don't allow it to affect you. Don't begin to think maybe there's not even anything called rapture. If you think like that, you are deceived. All this, they are sign, they are the sign and they are the vindication of the Bible. That the word of the Lord is truth. Because iniquity shall abound. Tell me now what they have not legalized. Just tell me. The only thing they did not legalize, they did not legalize reading of the Bible. They didn't legalize prayer. If you pray, you are an offender. If you read the Bible in your classroom or you try to speak about Bible to somebody, you are a criminal. But if you are a man and you marry a fellow man It's legalized. You are allowed. How many are we going to see in the world of iniquity? But I'm talking to the children of God. We are told before that iniquity in this end time will abound. Don't allow it to carry you away. You will be carried away. Will you go to hell and you will not curse yourself in hell after you have tasted this truth? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, wake up. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of, they'll be weary. It's going on now, you may not know. Maybe in your life, devil is whispering into your heart. The flesh is suggesting to you. The flesh is rising up. It's lifting up its head in your heart. Things you are forsaking, you are going back to them little by little. How much I pity you. Wake up. Now is the time of our salvation. Draw nearer than when we believe. And because iniquity shall abound. Look at the world. Look at society. Tell me. I don't even know what to say again. Iniquity. Tell me. In every sectors of life. Everywhere. Even in the church. In the churches. Iniquities. Is abound. And because of that. The love of many for Christ. The love of many for the truth. The love of many for the gospel will wax cold. Sometimes you will forsake the gospel and face yourself. Yeah. Because one of when iniquity abound, so you begin to reconsider. Maybe Jesus is not even coming. Then you will forsake the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you will face your own program. But listen to verse 13. Let me read 12 and 13 together. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure, you see now, endure unto the end, because iniquity will abound, many things will begin to happen. It is in this prophecy, but that I'm not able to read to you. He said many things will still be happening. That is the word of God. That's Matthew 24. But we need to endure. He said, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When I was thinking about this message, this exhortation, my mind went to Exodus, the first Exodus, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. It was an Exodus time. Now, you know that Before God began to deal with Pharaoh and his people, you know that they, first of all, dealt with the children of Israel. Yes. They, first of all, dealt with them. We can say Egypt is a type of the world. The world today is dealing hard with believers. They want to persecute you in your working place, everywhere you go, because you don't compromise with them. Now, one thing I want to say, that before God began to deal with Egyptians, God by himself, first of all, allowed them to deal with his own people. Because if you look at Exodus, the Bible says it came to time or to pass that another Pharaoh who did not know Joseph arose. And I want to ask you, who enthroned that king who did not know Joseph? It is God. Why? He put him there to persecute his own people. He allowed his own people to be persecuted because it is time for God to take them out of their place to a better place. That is it. It was an Exodus time. There was nothing like the message of prosperity. There's nothing like the message of money, gospel of money. No. It was a message of homegoing time. Homegoing time message. And then God allowed things to get hard so that even the heart of the children of Israel may quit Egypt. So that the heart of the children of Israel themselves may have quit. They are tired of Egypt. Because they were killing them. They were killing their babies. They were destroying their property. They enslaved them. So they make life very, very hard for them. Because God had no more interest in their living in Egypt. God had a better place for them. So whatever they are doing in Egypt, whether they are building 100-story building, it doesn't mean anything to God. Yes, so whether they are making billions of dollars every day in the land of Egypt, it doesn't mean anything to God. What the concern of God is that it is time to go back home. It is time to go home. He told Peter, Pharaoh, say, let my people do what? Go. Let them go. Brothers and sisters, the same thing is happening now. It is homegoing time for the bride of Jesus Christ. There is no more peace in the world. That's why you see these people that went to that maybe United Nations meeting. I don't know those who organized that meeting. But all I know is that it was a meeting of different kinds of faiths. Do you know what they said? They said the politicians, they have failed to bring peace into the world. They said that is to say, the word of God has failed. Jesus has failed to bring peace to the world. Said, so therefore, they now, as a clergy, they have arrived. And it cannot be done until first they unite all the religious leaders together. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Jesus said, do you think I come to send peace into the world? Say, I did not come to send what? Peace. Get it for me. He said, I come to send what? Sword. He said, I come to send a son in variance of his father. Yes, he says so. I come to send to set the daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law. And what the meaning of that? That is Matthew chapter 10, verse 35. Because this, our GOs there, they said, if the world must achieve peace, then all the religious leaders, they have to unite and come to and have a common faith. Truly speaking, because all the religious religions, they are talking about God. They are talking about God they did not know. Only the Bible believer, I don't mean denominational church member, but the Bible believer, we are the only one that knows the Lord, the true God. We are the only one. Because Jesus told that woman, he met at the well, he said, you worship what you don't know. He said, you are worshiping what you don't know. He said, but we worship what we know, because salvation is of the Jew. That's what he's telling them. Only the Bible alone that pointed you to the true God. There's no other book. Only the Bible that give you the way of salvation. No other book. Only the Bible that point you to the true way of salvation. The book of Buddha can never take you to heaven. It doesn't talk about heaven. It's a book of philosophy. Jesus said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. That's the Bible. Maybe this, our GOGS, of course I don't blame them, because they've said that is their mandate. That what they were doing before, when they were saying Jesus is the Son of God, only Jesus can save, only Jesus is the way. Which means when they were saying that, they were pretending. They don't really mean it. Their real mandate is to gather all the cockroaches and rats and everything together. To gather all religion into one faith. He said, then the world can experience peace. Brother, don't deceive yourself. There's no peace in the world. Do you know in the millennium, all of you listen, so that you don't look at me as if I am enemy of peace. Even in the millennium that is going to be the millennium, which is 1,000 years of peace, isn't it? Before there could be peace, Jesus will first of all arrest the devil. Are you there? He will arrest the devil and put him in a bottomless pit. Otherwise, there will be no peace. May God have mercy upon these people. Otherwise, there will be no peace. If you go to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah said, this is the man that turned the whole world into wilderness. Spiritual wilderness. That's why women become what they became today. That's why men became what they became today. The devil has turned the whole world into wilderness. Into confusion. It has turned it upside down. And somebody is trying to, is telling you that by uniting the religious led together, there will be peace. And some of these religious leaders, they are homosexuals. Yes. They are gay. They are lesbians. They are bisexuals. There are many, many things. You want to unite them together because you want peace. That's the peace of the devil. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace. That's the word of the Lord Jesus. But what? Sword. Yes? Verse 35 says, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father. That's why you won't say, you should not say, because your father is a Catholic, he died as a Catholic, then you, his son, you are going to die as Catholic. If you do that, you go to hell. You're going to meet your father in hell. But if your father is a Muslim and you are a son of God, Jesus Christ will come to you. Jesus Christ will save your life. Jesus Christ will give you Holy Spirit. And when you do that, your father will surely against you. Your father who was a Muslim or idol worshiper will never be at peace with you. That's what Jesus is saying there. Jesus is not a violent man. He's telling you what your faith will cost you. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. Okay, I want to ask you, did God turn Isaac against Abraham? No. Because they believe the same God. Hallelujah. They believe the same God. God did not turn Jacob against Isaac. The Bible said they were co-heirs of the grace of God. They were co-heirs. They believed the same thing. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. But I want to ask you, why did Cain kill Abel? Because God set Cain at variance against Abel. And Cain had to kill Abel. That is the meaning of sword. It's talking of war. Because they didn't believe in the same God. They did not believe in the same God. There's no way you can unite Cain and Abel together. Look at what Abel was trying to persuade Cain. That, please, my brother. No, no, no. If you want to be accepted, do it like this. This is an acceptable way. Acceptable way. There's no two gods. There's no three gods. Adam and Eve, they did not eat any physical apple. What God required is blood. But that was too much for Cain to swallow. He couldn't believe that. Instead, he has to kill his brother. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Until he will come to take over the kingdom of this world, there will be no peace. What you call peace is a counterfeit peace. We are expecting the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. My own peace is what I give to you, not the manufactured peace of the world, which will never last. So Jesus said, I am come to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against her mother. Yeah. Because you believe and your mother did not believe. So you are no longer compatible. There's no way you can do it together. Hallelujah. I think in the book of Corinthians, Paul was even talking to a couple that if any sister married have a husband that believe, isn't it? Or that believe not. And he be pleased that you, the wife, should stay with him. He said, don't leave him. That is to say, maybe two of them, they married themselves when they were a non-believer. They married themselves. But along the line, one of them believed. And the other one said, okay, since you believe this is your new faith, you can no longer stay with me. The Bible gives you freedom to leave. But he said, but if he agreed that no problem, you can be going to your church, I will be going to my mosque, if he allowed you, say, don't leave him. Is it not so in the Bible? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But let me finish with this. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against her mother. Daughter against her mother. That is to say, it may be the mother that believed and the daughter did not believe. Or maybe it is the daughter that believed and the mother did not believe. They cannot manage it. And the daughter-in-law against our mother-in-law. It's your mother-in-law, isn't it? Because it's the mother of your husband. It's your mother-in-law because it's the mother of your wife. But there's another law that is greater than that law that binds you together. And that is the law of God. The word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, now is our salvation. Nearer than when we believe. This is not the time to look back. This is not the time to look back. This is not the time to listen to the devil. This is not the time to play with the devil. This is the time to pray to God for help. This is the time to ask for grace. Sister, brother, this is the time to say, oh God, help me. Because now is your salvation nearer. And I want to tell you that Jesus is not going to wait for you when he comes. So that's why now, wake up from your sleeping. Come out of the night. For the day is at hand. The Lord bless you. I say the Lord bless you. Don't look back. You've already laid your hands upon the plow. Don't look back. Be looking unto Jesus Christ. He's the author, he's the finisher of your faith. He will take care of you. He will see you through. I say Jesus will help you. He will help you. He will never turn you to a beggar. He will make a way for you. He will provide for you. Don't look back, for now is your salvation, our great hope. Now is nearer, very close than when we believe. That's why all this, the red light of his coming is flashing everywhere. It's flashing in the religion. It's flashing in the politics. It's flashing in the society. It's flashing in everywhere, every corner, every sector. The flashing red of his coming is flashing. It's a sign for you as a believer that now your salvation is nearer than where you believe. Wake up. The Lord will help you. Let's rise up on our feet. Just whisper to God. Father, tonight, please help me. Tonight, Lord, help me. I need you. I know I'm weak. I know I'm weary. It's like I don't understand again. I open Bible, I don't see where to read again. I read it, I don't understand it again. My wife called me for prayer. My husband called me for prayer. I shut it down. Now, I spend all my time to watch television, to read dead book. The things of the world that I have forsaken, oh God, is trying to creep into my life again. It's creeping back. Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon my soul. Deliver me from the hands of the devil. For now is my salvation nearer. Now is nearer than when I believe. Lord, I thank you. Lord, help me. I need your help. Touch me one more time, singers. I need
the touch of the Master. I need the touch of the Lord. Oh yes, touch me one more time. Oh Lord, touch me one more time. Touch me one more time. Oh Lord, oh Lord,
touch me.
Continue to pray as you are listening to this song. He's going to touch you. He's going to revive you. He's going to shake you. Shake things. Shake carnality away from your life.
The touch of the Lord.
Oh yes,
touch me one more time. Oh Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our God who art in heaven, we give thanks and praises to your name. We praise, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Lord God of glory, we honor you. Truly, we cannot do anything. We cannot help ourselves. Truly, it is written in the Bible that it is not him that willeth. It is not him that is running, but it is God that is showing mercy. Father, this evening, I pray for all your children, even those who have no opportunity to hear this message, but they are in a weary condition, and that's why they don't listen. I pray, Lord, that you touch them. In the name of Jesus Christ, touch them, oh God. No matter what they are passing through now, the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, when their time of Exodus was near, they also passed through a lot of inconveniences. They even killed them. They killed their babies. And God allows it, because God wants to carry them out of Egypt. The time of our own Exodus is coming nearer. The time of getting out of this world to go and meet the Lord Jesus Christ before we come back to the new earth, where we are going to reign and where righteousness is going to reign forever. Oh God of heaven, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, come and help your children, all the wearied ones. Father, may you touch them. All the weak ones, I pray, Lord, may you touch them. Revive your church. Revive your people. In the name of Jesus Christ. Revive us, O Lord. Send revival into our soul. Let prayer be easy for us. Let the Bible reading be easy for us. Help us to love to listen to the word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Every carnality, every sin, every worldliness that we had forsaken before, that is trying to come back into our life, oh God of heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, we chase them back to the world, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus Christ, because you will do it, and you will do more than what we are expecting. Thank you, Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Father, we worship you. Hallelujah to your name. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving.